Good morning. Welcome to House Call. We are live here from the beautiful campus of sunny Pocatello, Idaho State University. Do we have summer yet? Gosh, felt like we had summer 2 days ago, and then feels like there's going to be winter coming across just this week, and from what I'm told. Well, we are excited here to have you all on our show again, like every Thursday or every other Thursday morning. I'm really excited for this topic because I have a great host, actually, which obviously you have a great host, but we also have a great guest. We have a great guest on our show and a good topic. So I'm going to go ahead and welcome our guest to the show, Dr. Blake Wachter. Welcome on the show.
Well, thank you very much. And this is an honor to be here.
Well, thanks a lot for making time. You're a heart doctor and you're doing some amazing things in our community, both for the heart and the community. Well, tell us a little bit about yourself, where you're from, how long you've lived there, and what brought you here, things like that.
Oh, I'd love
to. So people get to know you.
Yeah, no, as Dr. Rahim said, is that my name is Dr. Blake Wachter, and I'm a cardiologist, but specifically my expertise is in advanced heart failure transplant.
Right.
And did all my studies out here in Utah, so in the mountain area, and came from Philadelphia. Prior to that. And the reason why we came out, that's usually a common question I get, is why? And well, it's obvious. Just look around.
It's
the beautiful mountains. We're very outdoors, my husband and I and my two children. We mountain bike, we snowboard, we like to hike, we love the area, and we're not leaving.
Yep. And you mentioned you obviously did your training in not too far in Salt Lake City, University of Utah, right?
Right.
And then you specialize in advanced heart failure, which is a very specialized field within the field of heart disease and cardiology, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Not a whole lot of specialists, at least in eastern Idaho.
Right. Actually, in this area, we have very few advanced heart failure transplant doctors. And what that means, even though we don't do transplants up here for the heart, we do coordinate with Utah in order to, you know, create a shared care program for these patients. Mm-hmm. And we care for them right up to and then afterwards.
So tell me, what got you interested in heart? Like, people ask me, why kidneys? I just say, you know what? I don't know. I couldn't find anything else. I ended up in the kidney.
Well, it's kind of interesting in the fact that I originally, you know, going through the wide eye and shiny part of medical school, and you want to do everything, I really wanted to do pulmonary medicine. And in fact, that's what I got my PhD in.
Oh, really?
Was in pulmonary medicine and data representation. Because as you know, I've got a background in computers. So I'm kind of a geek, I guess.
You're very smart.
Well, thank you.
I want to say that.
But anyway, so I was sure I was going to go into pulmonary medicine. And then I started having some more experiences in cardiology and specifically heart failure and transplant. So my first real patient that I made a connection with and I felt like, wow, I'm here. This is what I'm going to do, was a really sick lady who needed a heart transplant. And I got the honor to tell her that we had a heart for her.
Must be such an amazing
moment, and me,
right?
Just a little old med student, got the honor to tell her that. I think I was a resident, but still pretty low in the totem pole.
That's pretty amazing for someone to get that news. Well, you know, I can truly relate to that. A very, very close friend of mine, his son recently got a heart transplant, and I got that call from him, and it's such a life-transforming
It's an
news,
amazing
right?
journey.
And we do that for our kidney patients all the time. Well, you're obviously doing a lot of good stuff in context of heart and treatment of heart failure. And tell us now, because one of the main reasons why we are discussing today is your foundation. And you started this amazing initiative in the community about educating people about, I mean, not only heart disease, but specific to heart disease. I'll let you talk about it. Tell us more about your foundation and why you're doing it and what your mission and values proposition is.
Thank you. Yeah, absolutely. So with heart failure, so going back to what I do, the number one cause of heart failure in the United States is actually people who have had coronary disease or heart attacks.
Right.
So that's very prevalent. in this country. As a matter of fact, about 600,000 Americans have heart attacks every year. And it's kind of scary because that actually accounts for 1 in 3 deaths.
Wow.
It's amazing. It actually, blows breast cancer out of the world. And in women in particular, it is the leading cause of death.
And the outcomes are not as good, right? That's kind of...
Well, the outcomes depends. It depends on whether or not you get, help early. So if someone has a heart attack outside of the hospital walls, which most people do, then it's really dependent on the people around them and whether or not they get initiated CPR or have AED, which is an automatic external defibrillator. I'll get into that in a minute. But, if you've got those things on board and you use those things even before 911 gets there, the EMS gets there.
In the setting of a cardiac arrest.
Right. In the setting of a heart attack, somebody goes down, clutching their chest, unresponsive. So, we're talking, they're on the floor, you can't move them.
Yeah.
If they're awake and complaining that, my chest hurts, I want to, this hurts, what should I do? The answer is always 911 and get to the hospital. We'll take care of you from there.
Right.
But, if they're down and you're there and you don't know what to do, first number one, always call 911.
Right.
And then the second thing is start CPR. It's easy. It's push on your chest and then try to get an AED.
That's something that we want to dive more into, because that's exactly what your foundation is geared to do, to educate the masses and the community that, yes, call 911, but do get engaged right away and look around if you have AED available. So why don't we just go into those stats and the numbers, because I read some of those with you, and it's impressive to see how initial help, even by a layperson who doesn't know anything about heart or medicine or CPR, but if they initiate few things, how much difference does it make in a person's outcome?
Yes, absolutely. So the numbers are, can be staggering, but 37, about 40% of people who have a heart attack outside of the hospital are actually witnessed by somebody. So we're not talking about you're out in the woods hiking by yourself and you go down.
That sounds like me.
I know. Unfortunately, I really don't think bears and those know how to do CPR. They know how to.
Not yet.
Yeah, I was going to say they know something else, but not CPR. So we're talking right now with the statistics, 40% of people who have a heart attack are actually indeed witnessed. So if you've got that bystander, then you've got hope where 33%, about 30% of those people who are now witnessing. So you've got this person who goes down and this population who's watching them and going, yeah, look at that, he's down. 30% of those people will actually engage in starting CPR.
So almost one third.
Yes.
Of people, and two-thirds are just calling 911 and waiting.
And standing there.
That's kind of the main difference we want to clear.
Right. We want to improve that number. We want that to be 100%.
We do.
We don't want anybody.
While you're waiting.
Right. We don't want anybody to just stand around going, I don't know what to do, or I'm not qualified.
Right.
Everybody's qualified. Push on their chest.
Right.
You'll be protected. That's the other thing I get is I can't because I don't know what I'm doing, so I'll get sued. No. It's called the Good Samaritan Law.
Okay. So, sounds like only one third of the people do get engaged in helping after calling 911, obviously. So why is it important to get engaged? Because I know you've showed me some numbers, and that's pretty impressive too, because it makes a big difference, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Now, if you have a heart attack, and you're unconscious, that is bad.
Right.
So we're trying to improve, certain death from trying to come back. And if you do get adequate CPR and you do get early AED use, then those people who had that, 11% do survive compared to people who do not, which is 7% survive.
So it does increase your chance of survival by almost 30, 40% compared.
Yes.
Right, in that population.
And we can improve that even more if you get an AED. So an AED is an external automatic defibrillator. They're around the public, and they are available, but you got to know where they are. And there's an app that you can have on your phone that's called Pulse Point, and it'll show you where the closest AED is.
This is like fire extinguisher, right? You got to know where they are and how to use it.
Yes, right? And actually, it's the fire department that got the app for us for free.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they paid for it.
Oh,
the,
wow.
The city paid for it.
So you're in Pocatello right now. So you're mentioning the city of Idaho Falls.
Yes, I am mentioning.
So do we have it in the city of Pocatello?
We'd have to find out. And if we don't, we have to get it here.
That makes a big sense. Yeah. I mean, that makes sense. Not a big sense.
Yeah.
Honestly.
So if you're doing CPR on somebody, and let's say you're at a place where you can get an AED, you get that AED, it's very easy to use. You just open it up, put the stickers on your chest, or the victim's chest, and then you follow the instructions. You hit the green button, you turn it on. If it's going to shock you, it's going to shock you. And in between this time, you continue CPR.
You know, that's very interesting, because a lot of us think, oh, that's an AED, or that device hanging on the wall behind the glass door is for specifically trained people.
Nope.
And we only have them attached while we're waiting. So the idea is that call 911, look around. If you have an AED available, get it and let the AED do the job.
No, but do CPR too.
And now, yeah. Forgot that part. You're right. CPR
yes,
as well.
CPR is
so,
key.
So let me give out our number. It's 282-4555. And it can happen to anyone.
It can happen
right?
to anyone.
Like we were saying the other day.
And I mean, you're never too young to save a life.
Yeah.
We've trained first graders to do CPR. And you should see them go to town. They're good at it.
I bet.
So you're never too young to save a life. And that's our message this year, is you're never too young to save a life. We have, we'll post some of these pictures up for you, but you can see some of the young kids.
Yeah, I see those young kids working with some hearts out there on your website. Well, we're going to give that out as well, so people can check out the foundation website and get to see some of these pictures. I mean, that looks pretty amazing what you guys are doing there. Yeah.
So we work with the fire department in the community, and our goal is to get CPR awareness out to the public.
So Idaho Heart Foundation, that's the name of the foundation, and their website is idahoheartfoundation.org. And your mission is to really create awareness of how community can get engaged in out-of-hospital cardiac arrest situations by performing CPRs, the use of AEDs, and you're never too young to save a life. That's a very powerful message.
Yes.
So how are you guys going about doing this?
Well, what we're going to do this year is, we're going to have a float in the 4th of July parade. So we're excited. So anybody who wants to get involved with that, let us know. That's a lot of work, as you know.
Yeah,
so
so we need volunteers to help with the Idaho Heart Foundation float.
Yes.
Got it.
And we're going to go out to different events in Idaho Falls. We're going to be doing there. We might want to, if we can come down here, if I have enough volunteers to
come down here as well.
Oh, yeah,
I'll tell you.
But
Pocatello
I need people. I need help. I'm a one-man show here. But I've got a lot of groups so far, a big group.
Yeah, this is a volunteer town. You'll find plenty of help here.
Yes, I totally need that.
So you guys show up at the events and you...
We have mannequins and we have AEDs and we have a group of people.
And you create a scenario, right?
That didn't work out so well when we tried that one.
Oh.
So we're going to have mannequins. It's going to be obvious. Free CPR, AED training, free. We're going to show anyone who wants to come up and... push on somebody's chest, look at what an AED does, and talk to them about them.
Really interesting, because myself, even being a doctor, I've never actually held an AED. I mean, I've done it in the hospital, but those are not
I can hook you up to the real one if you'd like.
Like to me? Like
yeah, to
me,
shock then, you.
Yeah. Oh, no.
No, think about that.
No, after I'm done with my coffee. Well, our number is 282-4555. We are here with Dr. Wachter, learning more about out-of-the-hospital cardiac arrest and how you can save a life. We're going to take a quick break just now, and we will be back right after the break.
Try streaming our signal at KISU.org or simply tell your Amazon or Google smart speaker to play KISU. Remember, even when our FM signal is out, KISU continues streaming live online.
Welcome back, everyone, to House Call. We are live here with Dr. Blake Wachter and learning more about heart and her amazing initiative. I like your logo there with the heart, and I see the map of Idaho. It's amazing how the map of Idaho can fit in every EKG, doesn't it, right? It looks like a PVC right there.
Yeah, that's a very good sign if you have the Idaho icon in your EKG. That proves long longevity.
Yeah, if you got the whole, whatever I remember, QRS and the whole thing.
That's a P-wave,
awesome.
Honey.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, you're right. You're talking to a kidney doctor. Okay, I'm way away from the heart. So you got a great initiative, Idaho Heart Foundation. And it's not like you guys are raising some funds for your programs and you need volunteers. Tell us more about that, Dr. Walker.
Well, the funds are going to go to providing actual AEDs for the community. And our focus right now is the police cars.
Oh.
So police cars, believe it or not, don't have AEDs.
Really?
The fire trucks do. But a lot of the police cars that are the first responders to a lot of events don't have the AEDs. So they're out there like you, just pushing on the chest till the fire trucks show up or the paramedics. So
that's a good point. We never
knew
that.
And there's a lot of police cars out there.
Yeah, we are even trying to get some police cars ourselves. We didn't even have all the police cars for our police here. So we got to get the cars and the AEDs.
Right, right. Okay. So that's part of the initiative. And then there's other public places that we're going to focus on in getting some of the AEDs.
Parks and...
Yeah, some of the schools have them. Some of them don't.
Oh,
There's other organizations out there that are also trying to supply
this
as well.
So there's no law out there, like for fire extinguisher, that a school or a public place needs to have an AED?
I'm not familiar with the law. There may be, but for high school, possibly. I'm not. I know that the younger schools, the elementary schools, middle schools, don't have them.
Yeah.
But again, there's other organizations. Don't want to say that we're the only organization trying to work towards this effort.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what the foundation's doing. But in addition to just the purchase, we feel that it's important to get the word out.
Right.
And so looking for funds just to do that, that little bit
education
of getting that education
programs
out there. And everybody can go take a CPR class, but we're trying to get the word out to the people who aren't going to take the CPR class.
Right. Because there are two different initiatives, right? CPR classes, certification, and basic life support is a different.
The certification is a 4-hour class.
Right.
And then you take a test and then you get a card.
Yeah.
What we're doing is we'll show you the basics and we'll give you, you were trained. And you're just as qualified as anyone else to push on somebody's chest and grab that AED.
Well, so the main idea here is to get the word out that don't be a bystander, call 911 and get engaged. Right?
Absolutely.
And then if you see an AED out there, then you got to know how to use it.
Right. At all ages.
Don't wait till somebody shows up and then does it. So, and that does make a difference in the outcome.
It does. I mean, it really changes someone coming home to their mother, their father, their sons, their family.
Yeah,
friends.
You know, it can happen to anyone. Very, very sadly, recently, not too long ago, my brother and I lost a close friend. He was a young doctor who had a cardiac arrest at work and never came out of that. So, it can happen to anyone, anytime, anywhere, right? And like you said, 40% of those are witnessed. So if you have help available, we got to make the most use of it. So walk us through a little bit also on what causes, for our listeners, what causes this event? Cardiac arrest.
So a heart attack in America usually is caused by cholesterol buildup in the coronaries or a plaque that was there. In other words, a plaque is a piece of cholesterol that's there and it's kind of stable, but it all of a sudden shears away from the wall and it kind of causes a block. Not unlike if you have a river and you have a log that's been sitting on the side of the river
like
for a while.
Dam.
Well, the beaver dam would be more a complete.
Chronic.
Right. Yeah. That would be a complete. But let's say there is like this river going down, and we can use a beaver for the story, sure. But let's say that beaver pushes that log out into the middle of the river, and now that log jams and blocks the water. So the water is the blood, and that log that just got torn away from the side and now blocks it, that's your plaque, and that's your obstruction when it closes off that water, or the blood in this case. So when the blood gets closed off, the muscle downstream, the heart muscle downstream, doesn't get any blood, and that's called a heart attack.
And isn't that such a strange creation? I mean, I should say it. It's such an amazing organ that does so much for the blood, yet it has very few channels to get its own blood, right?
Well, it's got three good channels to get its own blood. You've got three good coronaries, but you're right.
Yeah.
It's got its own blood system.
Well, it sounds like we have a caller on the show. Let's go ahead and take this call. Hi, welcome to House Call.
Hi there. My name is Nancy, and I live here in Pocatello. I had a question for the doctor. I'm wondering what kind of health exercise or dietary measures a person could take to try to prevent the plaque buildup in the first place.
Well, Nancy, that is a really, really good question. You know, prevention, obviously, is the key. So, Dr. Wachter, so Nancy's asking, I mean, you obviously heard the question.
Yes.
So tell us, what do you think?
So that is an excellent question, Nancy. And I spend most of my visit time with my patients talking about lifestyle modifications for just that reason. And the bottom line is that you want to eat healthy with less plaque, with less cholesterol in your diet. And you can avoid that by eating just basic healthier. And what I mean is, you know, unfortunately, fast foods, those processed foods, they all have a lot of sodium in it, and they also have a lot of fats in it. Those nice sweet treats that we all love, they have a really bad type of fat that's very bad for your body. And I'm not saying you never could have, you know, a Twinkie again, but moderation is definitely the
sugar.
Key.
Sugar's the new fat, isn't it?
Well, sugars and just the fried foods.
Yeah.
And we eat a lot of carbs, a lot of breads in our diet, and a lot of sodium, which both are dear to Dr. Raheem in our heart, because right, that causes sure. all kinds of problems.
Well, Nancy, I tell my patients, just stay away from Yellowstone Drive, because there's, you know, you go in Yellowstone, there's like fast food chain after fast.
Oh, everywhere.
So hard to get healthy food. So,
and exercise. She mentioned exercise. Exercise is very, very important, because that keeps the body healthy. Mm-hmm. And if you don't exercise, then I really don't have much of a baseline of how you're feeling. And when you get up to exercise and you haven't for, let's say, you were down because you had an injury for, you know, a year, you know, as soon as you get up to exercise, you're going to be pretty weak, and you're not going to be very as healthy as you would.
So lifestyle modification.
Absolutely.
Being more mindful about what we eat.
Moderation.
What we put in our bodies, and well, how do we burn it? So fruits and vegetable, eating healthy, healthy fats like avocado, olive oils, things
oils.
Like this, right?
Oils.
Are good. And you're right. Our carbohydrates have really taken over the world. It looks
yes.
unreal every place you look.
But I don't like those fad diets where you just eliminate things. I actually agree with the American Heart Association.
Yeah.
And they recommend...
You have to. You're a heart doctor.
Well, yeah, it was on my boards, too. But I like the DASH diet, Dietary Attempt to Stop Hypertension.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
that's a diet
that's...
been
around for a long time.
Absolutely. And it's similar to the Mediterranean diet.
Yeah.
But it's not a diet, guys. It's a lifestyle change.
I mean, that's
it's
what I tell
really
people.
It's really not a diet.
It's got to be a lifestyle. And I'm glad you mentioned Mediterranean diet, because that's the
yeah.
only thing that has really showed
they're,
in data.
They're basically together, yeah.
To improve the outcome, which is, you know, eat more fish, Grecian food, not a lot of red meat, right? And not a lot of cupcakes.
Moderation.
Right?
That's what I'm hearing.
And I agree with you on the carbohydrates. The thing that I tell, at least in my patients, the difference is that carbs have so much more calories packed in there. So, but anyways, thank you for such a good question. And let's go back to the Idaho Heart Foundation. You guys are raising funds to help buy more AEDs for police cars
yeah.
and community.
And we also support some patient support groups too with that as well.
For education,
so that's where the money goes.
So let's go ahead and say, let me go ahead and share this. So it's a GoFundMe account. So it's a www.gofundme.com/Idaho Heart Foundation. And I'm sure if you go to IdahoHeartFoundation.org, their website, you'll learn more about the organization and their efforts. And more importantly, you know, we got to get involved, get engaged. We need volunteers, both in Idaho Falls, and we would love to have this initiative in Pocatello. Dr. Walker, we would love it here. I don't think we are doing it here, so we would love for you to come.
I would love it.
Yeah. And like I told you, Pocatello has a lot of volunteers. That's what we do. We love doing it.
And
so
to contact me, it would be Idaho Heart F, as in foundation, at gmail.com.
So Idaho Heart F, as in foundation, at gmail.com is email address. If you'd like to get involved, get engaged, please go ahead and reach out. Where do you think this is going to go? What is your goal?
Well, our goal this year, if I tend to be very large goals, so 100,000 this year. So far, we've reached, give or take, about 10,000 out of our goal.
Yes.
And we're going to, like I said, you're going to see us throughout different events throughout the Idaho Falls community at this point. We're just going to keep moving every year. And when we get the CPR, everybody's trained and we feel comfortable with that, then we'll move on to another project.
Well, we got a minute left in our show, but I want to summarize this. But tell us, you've worked a lot with the kids now. I see amazing pictures of kids getting involved, working on those real animal hearts and seeing a lot of things. How do they receive it?
Kids are our future. They love it. They are proud to be engaged.
I love
this. Never
this.
Too young to save a life.
I'm so glad you're creating that message to them this early because they are our future. Well, once again, I want to thank you for your efforts and this amazing initiative with the Idaho Heart Foundation. And welcome and thank you for being on the show.
Thank you. I'd love to come back too.
Yeah, we'll definitely have you back. We'd love to do that. Well, thanks for listening and we will be back next week.